Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio. Pleasure to have you here. Close Up Radio, of course, a service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television Radio. It's always a pleasure when you tune in from around the world. We always have amazing guests that we celebrate here on our broadcast as well, who are doing incredible things to make our world a better place. And somebody who lives that creed every day of her life is Harmony Slater of Finding Harmony Coaching. You know, yoga is not simply just exotic stretching. It's a lifestyle discipline that integrates new healthy habits consistently over time, which affect how we think, feel, and respond to our environment. Harmony is a certified Ashtanga yoga teacher, life wellness coach, and founder of Finding Harmony Coaching. Harmony combines yoga with health and life coaching so clients can experience a more powerful life transformation. She began practicing yoga 25 years ago, and I'm sure she'll say that went by in a New York minute. She started long before it became in vogue and popular. She says it helped her through adversity, including recovery from an eating disorder and a deep sense of self-loathing and unworthiness. 5 years after she started practicing, with 2 degrees in philosophy and religious studies, Harmony moved to India and later Thailand to work at a yoga retreat center. Through her physical postures, meditation, as well as deep breathing exercises and personal coaching, Harmony's clients become aware of their habitual tendency to slip into negative thinking. The process of connecting more deeply to ourselves and mind, body, and spirit automatically begins to shift our behaviors to move us toward higher dimensions of wellness. She found that people were getting stuck in the physical exercise, but the real power of yoga comes from the breathing. These days, she says, we're more connected than ever online through social media, but we're incredibly disconnected from ourselves. It's very easy to get caught up in the everyday life that you lose sight of the actual fundamentals, like how to focus the mind through breath awareness and self-reflection, and to make time for that daily self-care routine, which is absolutely essential. She's joining us live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and it's our pleasure to welcome Harmony Slater of Finding Harmony Coaching to this episode of Close Up Radio. Harmony, thanks for joining us here on the show today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're very, very welcome. I'm a Libra, so I'm all about balance and harmony.
Yeah, have I have Libra rising, so yeah.
I have Virgo rising, so we're...
Okay,
cousins,
we'll be organized,
too.
Yeah.
Yes, that is the organization.
And my actual sign is Gemini, also all about balance. So.
See? That's it. And what crazy times we're living in, trying to balance and harmonize everything, right? Whew.
It's true.
We have our work cut out for us.
Definitely.
Tell us about what inspired you in your own life's journey to do this work, where you came to the realization of it's work that you don't just want to do, you have to do this work because it really speaks to the essence of who Harmony is.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, a lot of people always ask me if that's my real name, and it is. It is my birth name. And so I sort of was born into this, I guess, role in a sense, or into this dharma, into this life's purpose of holding, you know, all of these different perspectives or ideas that seem up in opposition, trying to hold them in balance and understand how we can integrate them in our lives, in our world, in ourselves, and allowing there to be space for different perspectives and different viewpoints and different ways of being in the world. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily always my calling to teach yoga and be a life wellness coach. This sort of evolved with time. When I was a young girl, I wanted to be a prima ballerina, of course. So it was a lot of time spent in the dance studio, using my body, working with my body, but also having a lot of very negative thoughts, of course. You know, when you're looking in the mirror for long, long periods of time as a ballerina, often, you know, you just see all your imperfections. And so that inner self-critic, that inner judge, that very negative sort of voice was very strong in myself, and it came up for me as a deep sense of self-loathing, and I developed anorexia and bulimia and felt just sort of a lack of control over myself at times, you know, which would lead to this binge, purge, starvation cycle, and, you know, it was quite unhealthy, and that was sort of my lifestyle for a long period of time, actually, living, you know, sort of in these extremes between starvation and then binging and then feeling guilt and self-loathing and purging and going back. And it wasn't really until I stopped dancing entirely and I had completed my 2 degrees in philosophy and religious studies and started moving into yoga. I took my first yoga class, and it was like all of a sudden I had felt embodied. I felt consciousness and aware of all different parts of, like, my body, my mind, my breath. I felt integrated probably for the first time, and there was no mirrors, which was, like, thank God, a real relief for me. And so I could move my mind inward rather than focusing on the external. I started to focus on the sensation and the deep sensation and what I was feeling and on the breath and, like, everything that was happening internally. And it was such a transformative experience that after that first class, when I kind of got up from that resting pose, I just felt cleaner, I felt lighter, I felt clearer, I felt almost like I was walking on air in a sense, you know. Just I didn't want to smoke, I didn't want to do anything harmful to myself, I wanted to, like, you know, eat fresh food. It was like a complete, like, all of these desires, these healthy desires, really woke up in me. And that kind of then started me down this path of investigating and exploring why this works. Why is it when we merge our awareness and our body and become really connected with what's going on in our immediate experience in an embodied way, do we start to make healthier choices for ourselves? Do we start to want to do good things for ourselves and treat ourselves in a way that is full of more self-love and self-compassion? And so that led me deeper and deeper into this path of yoga, and then that went into coaching and coaching others into how they can tap into this sort of innate healing power within themselves.
That's a great reason to be doing what you're doing, because it's so obviously it's so obvious that you're all in on this. You're so passionate about it. You're living your bliss through this work, which is really extraordinary. So kudos to you. You know, you're doing work that you love. You know, on your website, harmonyslater.com, that's harmonyslater.com, is these fantastic pictures, and it's you in the pictures. Pictures say 1,000 words, of course, and just from your one picture, you see how far a person can go. You start doing miraculous things, like being one of only 20 women in the world to be certified in Ashtanga Yoga directly from the Ashtanga Yoga Institute in India, and this recognition has given you, you know, incredible expertise, and it's only given after over 10 years of annual study in India and at an incredibly advanced level. So, wonderful photos on the website, but underneath that, incredible passion and expertise as you've developed along the way yourself, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing when you start to, you know, focus on using the body in a certain way or start to transform your body through small, little, but consistent habits, you know, those, to me, that's sort of the key is it's a bit mystifying to look at pictures of people doing these like contortionist things with their body. I mean, the body's just an example in this case because of the yoga postures. They look very advanced or artistic or even, you know, bizarre or scary for some people. But but it's just a symbol that, like, we're capable of so much more than we can imagine. And, you know, it might not make sense for everybody to, like, put their leg behind their head and balance on their arms. But it's just a metaphor for how we can change at any age so much in our life. We just need to focus on making small but consistent choices in a positive direction, and those lead up to major shifts in our lifestyle and our activity and our diet and our thought patterns. And then all of a sudden it seems like we're doing miraculous things. And, you know, it's interesting because for me that was the yoga asana, but, you know, for someone else, I heard of a woman just the other night who was running an Ironman, and she was like in her 60s. And, or, I mean, they do a lot of things in Ironman besides running.
Yeah.
It's like a 10 hours of activity. And I was just like, that's, to me, that's miraculous. That's incredible. You know, you can get me doing anything for 10 hours at a time or more. So I think, but again, it's that same idea, right? These small little shifts in thought, in habits, in lifestyle, in activity, in diet. You know, when you start to focus the mind in any one direction for any kind of goal or pursuit or purpose that you want to achieve, and you start making consistent changes, and that's the thing, these small little consistent habits that we have lead to big, massive results that appear, you know, impressive or stunning or, you know, unfathomable for other people.
Yes, right, exactly. Again, it's, you know, it's about really connection and reaching deep within to be able to start doing those miraculous things. You know, you dive into things with intensity and commitment and discipline, don't you, Harmony?
Yeah, I'm definitely someone who likes to do things sort of at 100% and take things to the maximum level. But I think anything that you really want to achieve in life, you know, really has to be approached with a sense of discipline, a sense of commitment, a sense of, you know, keeping your mind focused on it, right? Keeping your life aligned with it. And so much of the time our life kind of goes off course, or, you know, we let our minds kind of go off course and think about, you know, other things, because there's so many things to think about, as we mentioned at the beginning of this, right? There's so many different things that we have to balance in our life, and it's easy to kind of get distracted with the day-to-day things like the laundry and the dishes and the, you know, driving kids to activities and, you know, all the little things that have to happen, and maybe like the little things you have to do at your job or your work. And pretty soon, you know, you might find that your life is not really feeling very fulfilled, and you're not really realizing any kind of goal. There's no self-actualization happening, right? And so for me, that's always a major key in how, you know, we can bring more of a holistic wellness and integrate our all of these aspects of our personality into our life, is to keep this idea of passion alive, of joy, of doing things that bring us joy every day, or passion, or self-realization, some kind of awakening, tapping into that inner endless infinite energy that we have. You know, each of us has like a beautiful space within us that we can connect to and tap into this energy, to this love, to this joy, to this contentment, to this compassion. But if we're so busy doing all of the different things that are on our to-do list and all of the different things that we have to do day to day, we are not making that time. You know, it doesn't have to be a big time. It can be a short time, but we have to keep making that space to go inside, to connect to that joy, to connect to that passion, and to listen to ourselves. What do we really want to achieve, or what do we want our legacy to be? What do we want to attain in life? And then keep our lives aligned with that purpose, with that, I guess, dharma, or that duty, that life goal that we're that's in our heart. And I think when you can live your life that way, you can still do all of the things that are on your to-do list, but there's always an intention there. There's always a focus towards something that's a little bit greater, a little bit more integrated than just like going through each day, barely getting all the things done that you need to do.
You had to bring up the laundry and the dishes, huh?
Yeah, they're always there, I know.
They're always there, and they never go away. They wait for you to come home.
They do.
So for you, yoga also helped you with an eating disorder as well, and people might be fascinated by that because they think of yoga, stretching and sort of breathing and solace and escape and comfort, mind, body, and spirit aligning. Tell us about how the yoga helped you with this eating disorder as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really it was bringing that awareness into my body and into that sensation. And I think there's, a lot of practices of meditation or pranayama, anything where you're really turning the mind inward rather than focusing it outward, but cultivating that deep awareness or inner consciousness of your body, of your sensation, of your breath, and observing those sensations, observing those feelings, and then also being able to see your thoughts as objects. So not, we often have thoughts all the time, every day, I'm so tired, or, I'm so stupid, or whatever kind of thoughts we're having, or why did you do that? We're very critical of ourselves often. And when you can start to recognize those as just thoughts or just a critic, a voice, an object rather than something that's true about you, and you can start to question and reflect and, ask those challenging questions of like, where is this coming from? Is this true? Is this just a habit? Is this just a tape I keep putting in and playing over and over and over again, that I haven't really looked at or analyzed before? I think identifying a lot of these tapes, these patterns, these habits, these cycles that our mind goes into or our body goes into is really helpful in coming out of them. And the awareness is really the key. Awareness is the key to yoga. It's the key to transformation. It's the key to reducing self-harm or harm for others. Because the more aware of we are of our thoughts, of our sensations, of what's arising within us, then it allows us to create that space where we can respond. We can choose how to respond rather than just reacting. And so without the awareness, nothing changes. We stay stuck in that cycle of just reacting. And, we're in an emergency response mode, right? Our sympathetic nervous system is just constantly being triggered. When we start to create awareness, we start to increase the ability to move into a parasympathetic state, into that rest, that digest sort of spacious feeling within ourselves where we can then choose how to respond. We can respond with intelligence. We can look at our thoughts and not just react to them. We can ask questions about what we're thinking rather than just responding right away. And when we start to cultivate this deep inner awareness, we really start to bring up and develop empathy and self-compassion, because you can't keep doing harm to yourself with awareness. The two are very incompatible. And so eventually you will stop creating harm for yourself. And it's the same way. If you know how much you're harming somebody else when you're doing something and you have awareness in that moment while you're doing it, it's very difficult to stay in that space of harm, right? And so cultivating that just understanding and awareness and empathy for self and others, I think, is sort of the heart of the yoga practice. And it happens without you really having to, think about it. It just happens automatically when you start paying attention to the sensations that are arising in your body.
Mm-hmm. That is so right. Yes. Yoga really returns us to this basic foundation of embodiment, right? With that sense of embodiment and presence, you can have that moment of clarity, which I think right now a lot of people are craving some clarity and focus, and yoga can really help you sort of head in that direction, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's all connected back to our nervous systems as well, right? It's not just like a mystical kind of experience that we're having, although it can feel quite mystical at times. But it's deeply connected to our nervous system, and our breath, our inhalation, our exhalation is connected to our nervous system. When we're working with our breath, we're working directly with our bodies, with our nervous system. We're, bringing that parasympathetic response up. We're regulating our nervous system. We're allowing ourselves to relax and to create a space of calm or clarity or with this embodied awareness. We're allowing ourselves to just sit with a sense of discomfort even, right? So when you have a sense of discomfort, like say you're in a posture and you're twisting and you're like, oh, that doesn't feel so good. You know, it's not an immediate, emergency, but it's just a little bit uncomfortable. And yet you sit with the discomfort and you breathe rather than reacting, rather than trying to push it away, rather than trying to get out of the posture, rather than moving or changing. And I think, so much of our culture these days is based on immediate gratification, chasing after things, trying to make ourselves feel better by getting more, doing more, being stuck in this constant cycle of doing and getting and pushing forward and running away from things that are causing us pain or discomfort. And so when you teach your nervous system that this is uncomfortable, yes, but it's not dangerous and it's not deadly. It's just uncomfortable. And I can sit in discomfort and I can watch it go away on its own, because it will go away all by itself, just like everything does. And you tap into this sort of idea of impermanence, or you tap into the idea of things arising and passing away. And we're intimately connected with these concepts more than we know, because we have our breath, which is constantly arising and passing away, arising and passing away. And so when we start to notice these patterns in ourselves, that everything comes and then it goes, we have a sensation and then it dissipates, we start to witness these things and experience them and understand them at an experiential level, then, we're able to bring all of that intelligence that we've cultivated through a breathing practice or through an asana stretching practice, through any kind of practice done with deep awareness, an embodied kind of somatic practice. We're able to bring all of that intelligence into our daily lives. And then we just immediately experience more spaciousness. We immediately experience this embodied presence in other areas of our life, because what we're working on and growing, within a practice of yoga, within this sort of moment of centered concentration on something, we're able to bring into other areas as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's what it's all about. It's sort of an amalgamation of various things that you're weaving and threading together. Ashtanga is what we're really focusing on. Break that down a little bit more for us in terms of what makes this, and you've hit some key points already, but maybe break it down a little bit further as far as defining it and the uniqueness of it.
Sure. Ashtanga yoga is the type of yoga that I've been practicing and that I teach typically, but it's it's not just a physical asana practice. It's not just a practice of, you know, intense stretches and contortionist postures, although it appears that way sometimes. Ashta means eight, Anga means limbs. And so it comes from the teachings in ancient Indian texts called the Patanjali Yoga Sutras. And the eight limbs are basically interconnected limbs, lifestyle disciplines, ways of being in the world that you're to integrate in your whole life. So yes, postures are a part of the practice, but there's also something called pranayama, which is the extension of your prana or your life energy, your breath. So it's breathing exercises. There's meditation and concentration and full sort of absorption in the higher limbs. But there's also very practical things that are to be integrated into your life. So ways that you're living your life, trying to live your life without being harmful to yourself or others or the planet. Living your life aligned with truth and authenticity, not, you know, taking things that don't belong to you. You know, containing your energy and channeling your energy in a way that is healing and healthy and vibrant. And then also not hoarding, right? Not trying to take things that not just don't belong to you, but taking more than what you need. So being a person of the needs rather than the wants. So, you know, allowing things to also go, not sort of getting stuck like a dam, but letting things pass through you. And then, you know, keeping your environment, your body, your mind, the world, your home, clean, you know, creating a sense of cleanliness, a sense of spaciousness within yourself and within the world, and cultivating contentment, having a disciplined, focused life, having a sense of self-reflection or self-observation. So there's this idea of, you know, studying yourself, studying your patterns, and having a focus towards self-realization or self-actualization, trying to live the best possible life that you can, and then ultimately surrendering to a higher power, whatever you conceive that to be. So it's a full lifestyle discipline. It isn't just, you know, jumping around on your mat and putting your leg behind your head and doing fancy tricks. It's really about how you can live your best life and integrating all these different aspects that make us human into a full picture that gives us a feeling of wholeness and completeness and complete integration of our personality, our spiritual, mental, physical selves.
That's what it is. Again, it's that balance. It's all coming back to the balance, and that's the key to it all. I can't believe that we're just about out of time here. That went by fast. Hopefully we'll get a chance to expand some more and maybe hear some success stories. And bottom line, having compassion for yourself. Here we are in the gift-giving season. One of the best investments you can make is in yourself, and give yourself that gift. And that leads to the wellness and to the balance and the harmony that we're all trying to achieve in our lives. Our very special guest is Harmony Slater. Website is www.harmonyslater, that's SLATER.com. Harmony, this was wonderful. Hopefully we'll get a chance again to expand some more and maybe hear some success stories and things of that nature, case studies. This was a pleasure. Thanks
so
for joining us on the show.
Success stories to share.
Yeah. It went by so incredibly fast.
Well, I'm
always
glad,
do.
I
hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on your show. It was a pleasure, and I'd love to connect with anyone who wants to go deeper into the psychology, the philosophy, or look at doing any kind of coaching or life transformation. Please feel free to reach out, and I'm happy to connect with you online or by email, however.
Great. HarmonySlater.com is the website. Thanks so much, Harmony. We really appreciate you being with us and look forward to chatting more down the line. HarmonySlater.com, the website. Your host, Jim Masters, here thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, we appreciate you as well all around the world. Thanks for listening to this episode of Close Up Radio. We'll be back early with another great guest here on the program. Till then, for all of us, thanks for being with us. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.